You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I've got a lot of mental pictures of my father. I see him playing catch with us. I see him working around the yard or puttering in the basement. I remember when I sat on his lap while he was driving my uncle's tractor, plowing. When we got to the headland, he let me turn the tractor around. I'll never forget that picture. And I can still picture when he got mad. The arteries in his neck and forearms became very pronounced. Those arteries were a barometer that told us kids if a situation was serious or not. Well, now I'm a father, making images for my children. Some of the images we make for our children are good, and some aren't. Earthly fathers aren't all saints. Some of you may not have known your father. Perhaps he died when you were young. Perhaps he left you. Some of you may have bad images of your father. Perhaps he was abusive. Perhaps he was not faithful. Perhaps he was more in love with work than he loved you or your mother. We've all got different pictures of our fathers. Being a father is an art that none of us has mastered perfectly. Being the child of a perfect father is something that none of us has ever experienced, with one exception, and that's the Heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven. He's a perfect father. He gives us a divine picture of fatherhood. It's not the other way around. Some people are of the opinion that when we talk about God as a heavenly father, we're simply projecting our earthly images upon the great and incomprehensible deity. We have, these people say, taken images of earthly fathers and projected them upon the great and incomprehensible God. Well, the Bible, which is God's revelation of himself to us, tells us that just the opposite is true. God really is a father. In Ephesians 3, St. Paul literally says, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named." So it's not that we're projecting our images of earthly fathers upon God, but rather, and this is what today's message is all about, we want the image of the Heavenly Father to be reflected more and more by earthly fathers. What an inviting picture our Heavenly Father shows us. Just as a child runs out to greet Dad when he comes home from work, God invites us to come to Him. That's why we're taught to pray, "Our Father." It's an amazing contrast in words. The great God of heaven, He who is awesome in His mighty power, He invites us to call Him our Father. God doesn't want us to picture Him as inaccessible, too great, and too magnificent to be approached by mortal sinners. He doesn't want you to think that He's too busy to hear your problems, your prayers. Since He's our Father who's in heaven, He can do things about our problems. He can answer your prayers. When my children ask me to open the jelly jar, I can do that. But when they ask me to do something that requires dainty little fingers, I'm useless. Sometimes we earthly fathers can't help our children. But the Father in heaven is all-powerful. His ears are always open to your prayers. His arms are always open for us to come to Him. His thoughts toward us are always thoughts of love and peace. He's ready, He's willing, and He's very able to help you. Now, when our Savior Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, He taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The word "Thy" is very important. It lifts us beyond ourselves to the perfect Father. We earthly fathers are a mixed lot. We come in all shapes and sizes. We come in all ages. We have various personalities, some cultured, some rough cut.
We have various levels of income, education, and worldly prestige. And we all have our opinions about things. A father wants to pass those opinions on to his children. Here we fathers need to be reminded of the word thy. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Earthly fatherhood is a trust from the Heavenly Father. The children are not really our children. They're God's children. We fathers and mothers are stewards, tending God's children for the few short years they're under our roof. And so it's not the place of a parent to pass along his opinions as much as it's his duty to pass on to his children the truths of the Heavenly Father. Ephesians says, "Fathers, bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now we fathers, and indeed all people, parents, children, single, married, all of us should hallow God's name. That is, our words and actions should be in line with what God has revealed to us in the Bible. This is serious business, modeling God's life to impressionable young people. St. Peter says, "If you call on Him as your Father, who judges each person according to what he has done, without favoring one over another, live reverently as you spend your time here as strangers." Our parental words and actions won't hallow God's name if we imagine that anything is more important than the Heavenly Father. God doesn't need you or me to make Him important. He already is. And on Judgment Day, the whole world will know that. But Christian people, Christian fathers, should desire God to be most important in our hearts and homes even before Judgment Day. That's what we mean when we pray, "Thy kingdom come." God's kingdom is where He rules. And while He rules the entire universe with His great power, we want Him to rule our hearts and homes with His forgiving love. Then, when Judgment Day does come, Christian fathers and mothers and children, forgiven by God in Christ, will enter the glorious kingdom of heaven. Thy will be done. A few years ago, Diane and our daughters, Elizabeth and Katie, gave me a hammock for Father's Day. A hammock's a great thing, especially on a balmy Sunday afternoon. But apart from relaxation, you don't get a whole lot done in a hammock on a Sunday afternoon. Some things you just have to get up and do. The Heavenly Father is busy doing what's important to Him. Through His Word and Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father is pleading with every man, woman, and child to turn away from their self-centered ways and to turn to Him. The Father's will is that all people come to know and trust the salvation that He offers us through the merits of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is at work wherever the gospel of Christ is spoken, urging sinners to turn back to God. That's God's will. That's what God wants. And because of that, a good earthly father shouldn't be practicing hammock Christianity. A good earthly father should be doing those things that give the Holy Spirit room to work on hearts, his own heart and the hearts of his family. And so a true Christian father should be very deeply involved in Bible study. Of course, that's true for everybody. But the men who are charged to bring their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord need to do daily Bible study. A college degree or experience in the world does not make a Christian father. In my ministry, I've seen excellent Christian fathers who never went to high school, never achieved status in worldly ways, but they were excellent Christian fathers because their minds were reverently open to Bible study and the Word of God. It hurts me to see young fathers, men in their 20s, 30s, 40s, who are not into Bible study. A lot of men in that age group think too highly of themselves. That's hammock Christianity, and it's devastating to the spiritual life of children and families. We fathers need to get up from our spiritual hammocks and get into that Spirit-blessed activity of Bible study. We want to be involved in doing God's will on earth. If we don't, will easily be deceived by false images of fatherhood. I've talked to a lot of couples who are having trouble in their marriage. The wife will often say something like, "I'm abandoned. I'm all alone with the kids and house. If you do something, it's only because I've had to badger you into it." And when the wife says that, the husband often looks totally surprised. "I didn't know that," he says. And sooner or later he'll say, "I've been busy with work. After all, somebody has to bring home the paycheck." And to that the wife will say, "That's not enough. I want a husband." In most cases, the husband is absolutely dumbfounded by that, because husbands are prone to picture themselves as breadwinners. Above all else, many husbands and fathers see themselves as the man who goes out into that dangerous world each day to make money. And he brings it home to wife and children, like a caveman coming home from the day's hunt. What more do they want? The husband thinks. That image of husbands and fathers is wrong. The perfect Father, our Heavenly Father, teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Daily, he says. You don't have to have CDs or a fancy house or a country club membership. Just enough to get by. And bread, that's not an exotic food. Jesus didn't teach us fathers to pray for credit cards and recognition at the best restaurant in town. Just daily bread. And he said, "Give us." It's all a gift. You may be talented, you may be hardworking, you may have earned the status and money you have, but when all is said and done, it's still a gift from God. "Give us this day our daily bread" is a prayer. It's a request. A lot of men who retire, and a lot of men who are disabled by accident or illness, wrongly think that they are useless because they're not going out and making money. That's not the way the Heavenly Father wants us to picture fatherhood. A Christian husband and father is important, not because of his financial worth or potential, but because he points his family to the Heavenly Father's kingdom and will. And let me add, a lot of mothers are working these days. Although that makes for some difficulties, it also has a blessing. It provides a great opportunity for the husband and father to search the Bible and see what his unique role as husband and father is to be. That role is far more spiritual than material. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." The Bible teaches that the husband is the head of the wife. He's head, not because he brings home the money, not because the family is an authoritarian structure where the husband and father is the commander or the dictator. If a man claims to be the head of his family for any such reason, he can't turn to the Bible for support. The Bible says that the husband is head because he's to reflect the love, the care, the forgiveness, the sacrifice that Christ gave to the church. In Ephesians, God says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives." Through Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father has forgiven our trespasses. I can't think of any more wonderful lesson that a father can teach his family than the forgiveness of sin. Next time you get into a family squabble, remember that there's only one who is right. That's the Heavenly Father. Since he forgives our trespasses, we want to forgive one another their trespasses. The image of the Christian father that we pray God will fix into our minds is not the absent breadwinner, but the waiting father, waiting with arms open in forgiveness. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." A lot of us men are more emotional than we let on. We've got feelings. We hurt. We can be wounded. The common code of male conduct requires that we keep those vulnerable feelings buried deep within us. These last petitions of the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," bring us full circle. They bring us back to the very first word of the prayer, our Father. In many, many ways, we Christian fathers are tempted by the devil. We're tempted to see our name as more hallowed than God's name. We're tempted to see our home as our kingdom rather than God's kingdom. We like to assert our will, which is not always God's will. We're tempted to think that our major contribution is bringing home the paycheck, and that leads to all sorts of problems. All too easily, we fall to the temptation to assert ourselves rather than sacrifice ourselves for our family. With all those temptations about us, we Christian fathers really need to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And we need you to pray for us, our Father. This is not a private prayer. It's a prayer of God's people for and with one another. Whatever your status in life now is, wife, widow, child, single, divorced, please pray to the Heavenly Father for all our earthly fathers. Please pray that they be delivered from every temptation to a false picture of what it means to be a man and a father. Please pray that they find in the Heavenly Father's Word the infallible guide to what it means to be a man and a father. What pictures the radio brings us today! Pictures of our earthly fathers who so often did so much for us. And now we've painted on the radio a picture of the Heavenly Father, and not a picture that we have projected onto God, but rather a picture of fatherhood that He has revealed to us. It's a good day to get into a hammock or easy chair and recall the images of Father. But it'll be even better when we get up and be the Christian fathers God's Word teaches us to be. With His help to fashion for our children the images that they'll remember of what fatherhood is really all about. Amen.